discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything he is, that is why he told Abraham, he said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God himself.
Listen to Pastor O.T. Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
But what was I talking about? Washing. Yes.
The Lord uses the word to wash us. Hallelujah.
You have to be washed. Do you see? Yeah. You have to be washed. And as you are washed, you start growing. It says that your glory starts increasing. So transformations of glory. Okay. Your life gets better and better and better. But we all, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we allow us, it says the word of God is the glory of God. But we will be with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. The word glass is mirror. So we look at the glory. When we look at the word is actually showing us what we are and who we are. Do you see? Now, when you give it attention, you start, it says, you are changed or transformed. The word change there is metamorpho, and it means to be transformed. You are transformed into the same image. What you are seeing in the word becomes your present state reality. Your present tense reality. Okay? You are changed from glory to glory, into the same image, from glory to one level of glory, one level of brightness. Your life becomes more beautiful. You become more fruitful. Do you see? Yeah. Things start working. Whatever you touch works, is blessed. Just because you're exposing yourself to the word of God. That's it. Your life doesn't decay. Those who don't receive the word have their lives decaying with time. It gets darker and darker as the years go by. Change is not normal. Do you know change is not? Positive change is not normal. No, it's not normal. Progress is not normal. I saw a church building some time ago that has been in construction for years. It's not improving. Nothing is happening. And there are many houses that, how it was, is how it is. Because it's not a small thing for progress to come. For you to record an inch of progress, you need the word. The life of those in the world is like, it's like this. It goes up only to come down. There are rich people who were rich some years ago and are not rich anymore. There are influential people who were influential some years ago and they are not influential anymore. Their life has gone up and it has come down. But when you are a child of God who exposes yourself to the word, yours is an upward and forward trajectory. You just keep going higher and higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. That is your destiny. That's the destiny of every single child of God. Higher and higher. More glory every single time. From glory to glory. That's your life. That is your life. And that happens as you give yourself over to the word. God doesn't operate in a vacuum. God operates in his word. You must understand that God is his word. When you are hearing the word of God, when the word of God is coming to you, actually God is coming to you. Because God is his word. And his word is God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, right? Yeah. And the word was with God. And the word was God. So the word is God. Yes. The word is what?
God.
Yes. So when you hear, when the word comes to you like that, actually God is being ministered. God is ministering himself to you. That's what you understand about the word. It's not an aspect of God. No. God is his word. and his word is God. Hallelujah. When I'm exposing myself to the word, I mean, I'm exposing myself to God. I'm in a God atmosphere. I'm in a God realm. And anything can happen. So transformations of glory, your life gets bigger, better, brighter, nicer, more influence. I've never known reduction. No, you've been with me for years. Have you seen me going down? I know I have the key. I have the key. That's what I'm telling you now. I have the key. The key is expose yourself to the word. That's the key. I have upgrades. Every year I'm upgraded. Every year we do bigger than we did previously. Every year. Yes. I don't expect anything less. Actually, I don't have any expectation of going lower financially. No. Every year my personal finances are higher. Every year my soul winning whatever is higher. Yes. The number of churches we are starting is higher. It's bigger. It's greater. Yeah, I'm going to start 25 churches at once within the next 6 months. Yeah. Six, seven months. 25 churches at once. If you're interested, come and see me. I'll send you. Yeah. I'm serious. Yeah. Just because of exposure to the word. Glory to glory. No, there's never been a year where, let's say, last year I got 100,000 within the year. And then the following year, I get 50,000. I've never had that. Never. I didn't see that. That's never happened. And it would have, by the grace. It would never happen. Bigger, better. That's me. Bigger, better. Because I believe in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. The path of the just is as a shining light. Am I the righteousness of God? Are you the righteousness of God? Then you have one path. Bigger, better, greater, glorious. That is your life. And the key for it to happen practically is the word. And the word is given to you by the shepherds he has given to you. Yeah. You see, one of the things you should learn to do is to allow the notes you take in church become a guide for you in your quiet time. What do you use for your quiet time? You say 5 minutes of Pasoti, but it's just a very small something. It's like snacks. You may not be able to go deep with it. But when you have made notes in church, you can go to look at the number of verses I've quoted. You see? Huh? It can form a guide. It can be a guide for you as to what you should read. But I'm only, when I'm listening to some of these wonderful people that God has given to me to shepherd me, to pastor me, okay, to receive from. And then they mention a verse in Hebrews, and that marks the beginning of me going through Hebrews. I'm reading Hebrews right now, and I'm reading Hebrews because on my personal quiet time, whatever, personal time, because I was listening to Reverend George preach, and he mentioned a verse in Hebrews, and it caught my attention, and I decided that I'm going to read the whole of Hebrews. Did you see how it goes?
Yeah.
That's how it works. Someone, as they ask, they are preaching, a verse will be quoted in Isaiah, and then it will just be nice for you, and then you start reading Isaiah. That's how it works. The more you read, the more, the brighter your life becomes. Yes. The brighter your life becomes. Things start falling in place. Higher and higher. Upwards and forth. I've never known reduction. I don't have that. Tell me, but I don't have that. I don't go down. No, we never go down. Higher and better. Stronger and stronger. Greater and greater. Brighter and brighter. That's my life. And you must insist on it. Okay? What do you think? No. Richer and richer. Better and better. More effective. Cutting edge. Warm. You are hot. Hotter for Jesus. Yes. Not reducing Romans chapter 12. Verse 11. I say them. Hey. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Can you show me the Amplified? Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Yeah. This is my story. Say, this is my story.
This is my story.
Never lagging in zeal.
Never.
Oh, say, never lagging in zeal.
Never.
Like your zeal for the Lord is not reduced. Sometimes people say, I don't know, I used to love God and things of God now. It's because you are not exposing yourself to the word.
Amen.
I can listen to Bishop Doug. I feel like flying. Yeah. Bishop Doug encourages me to do ministry, to do church work. Yeah, he's my power when it comes to ministry work. Yeah. Every other person I listen to is for content, for message. How to say it and whatever. But for me to be encouraged to do the ministry and know what to do. Nobody in the whole world teaches about church like Bishop Doug, and teaches about evangelism and ministry work and church work and shepherding. And nobody teaches more than Bishop Doug. Yeah. The whole world, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe in your world it's not like that, but in my world it's like that. No. Your zeal will reduce. Your zeal for the Lord. I mean, why should you be in church and you don't have any zeal for God?
Hey.
Then what did you come to learn? No, the church is not a place for making money. We don't preach about business, whatever. That's not why we are here. We are doubling in our love for the Lord, understanding His love and loving Him, and working for Him, serving Him, and pushing. You should never, the glory of God in your life should never reduce. And it will not reduce through listening, never lagging in zeal and in earnest endeavor, like you are pushing for things to happen. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Aglow, burning, hotter than you were before. Every year, hotter, wilder, crazier. Not as the years go by, you are reducing, your effort is reducing. No, 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 no. That's not glory. That's not the glory of God. No, ready to die. Ready to die, ready to go to the cross. Jesus, after the cross, was glorified.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So the deeper you go into the word and hearing God's word, and you'll be shocked that your desire for the things of God starts going higher and higher. Just keeps going higher and higher. You become wilder and wilder for God. Huh? Wilder and wilder. Not that you are very calm in the church, you don't want to do much. No, 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 no. It means you have not been hearing. You've not been hearing what you have been preaching. I shared with you on the love, the grace, the fellowship. Isn't it?
Yeah.
If you are listening to that message, what do you think will happen to you? Do you think the glory of God in your life will reduce?
Yeah.
The glory of God in your life will increase, because I taught you that everything starts with the love of God. God loves, so he love gives grace.
Yeah.
The goal of love is grace. The goal of love is to be kind to you. To be gracious to you. So God, who is the source of love, gives us, his greatest expression of love is giving us his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is grace. That's the grace of God is a person. His name is Jesus. And the aim of grace, the aim of Jesus is to bring you into a place of fellowship with the Spirit. The aim of love is grace. The aim of grace is fellowship. What does fellowship mean? Fellowship means being closer to the Father and being closer to the Son. If you are close to the Son, Father and the Son, what does that mean? That means that you are interested in the Father's business. You become wild about the Father's business. The more intimate you become with God, the more you are interested in what He is interested in. Because God has a love, and His love is for people. You cannot get close to the Father without loving people. It doesn't work. Romans 12:11, TPT. Show us. Romans 12:11, TPT. Are you in the church or have gone home?
Yeah.
Are you sleepy or you are awake?
Yeah.
Are you only used to all night prayer? Like prayers, prayer. Is that what you are used to? No, 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 no. All night is word. We are on the word. We'll pray later. We are on the word. Yes. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. Keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot. Boiling what?
Hot.
Keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit. And let Him fill you with the excitement, as you serve Him. Hey. Excited as you serve Him. Burning hotter and hotter, boiling hotter and hotter as the years go by. Yeah. Anything that burns produces light. Mostly produces light. Is it true? If something is burning, light is coming. Or did you burn something without light showing up? When you burn something, you have light showing up. Maybe it will start to smoke, but ultimately you have some fire, some light showing up. So when you are burning, the wilder you are, the more the glory of God just starts increasing in your life. Glory is weight. Your weight in the spirit increases. Your effectiveness increases. Your influence increases. But you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. Hotter and hotter. More glory. Glory means beauty. Yeah, the hotter you, as you are receiving, you are moving from glory to, your life is becoming more and more beautiful. Your sitting room chairs can change. Yeah, your clothes can change. Because clothes changing is not normal. You can change the girl, it's not nice. Have you seen some before? Yeah. There's no beauty. The thing is not nice. Your beauty is from the spirit. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. Your beauty is from the spirit. Your succulence is from the spirit. Yeah? It's from the spirit. Your sweetness is from the spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The more you receive the word, the Bible says that the entrance of thy word giveth light. As the word is coming, more light is coming. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. As you are receiving the word spirit, more spirit is entering, more life is entering. Your life is becoming more and more beautiful. You become excellent in your speech. The glory of God in your speech even changes. Yeah. You become excellent. Transformations of glory. Just by exposing yourself. To be fair though, as you are being fed, how many of you eat with your attention somewhere else? Do you understand what I'm talking about? If you are eating and your eye is not on the food, you are eating, you are watching TV, and you are eating banku and tilapia, and you just fetch the banku. Maybe you know that the banku is on 9 o'clock, the fish is on 12 o'clock. You know, 9 o'clock is here, 12 o'clock is here, and then the vegetables are here, and the vegetables are on 3 o'clock, the pepper is on 6 o'clock. You see, so you go like that. You are not looking. Do you think you can swallow some, you end up swallowing some bone, right? Yeah. Eating takes a certain type of, you have to bring, there should be a certain type of attention that you give to eating. Yeah. If a baby is being fed and you are not careful, the baby can aspirate. The food can enter their lungs and that's it. You have lost your baby. Because you didn't focus when you're breastfeeding the baby. Even your breast can kill the baby. You don't know. You don't push the nipple, everything to the baby's throat. You kill the baby. Yeah. You have to be careful. There's a way to do it. Breastfeeding, there's a way. It's a skill. Pastor Gloria, is it true? You will kill, before long, your baby's throat, you have killed your baby. Yeah, you are trying to feed the baby and you have killed the baby. Even the weight of your breast can kill the baby. Oh, there's a nurse here. I'm a nurse. They think I'm lying. Can I get the microphone? You are breastfeeding, you are not looking. Your breast can cover the baby's nose. That's it. Yes.
What daddy is saying is true. So there's a technique to breastfeeding. So whenever mothers give birth, we take time to teach them how to breastfeed the baby. First of all, you need to hold the baby in a certain way so that the breast milk doesn't end up entering the windpipe as they
feed. You know windpipe? Where you breathe, where the air
you
goes
know there's
through.
A tube for air and there's a tube for food.
Which is close together.
And they are close together. So for babies, they don't have control. So you have to position them in a way that their breast milk does not spill over into their lungs. That's what Daddy was saying, that they
will aspirate.
It's
called aspiration.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then...
Yes. I'm a doctor by association. Yes.
Then the weight of the breast too. Sometimes some of the mothers leave the breast on the baby's mouth. Yes. And you know, they are suckling. So as they are feeding, they are breathing as well. So if you leave the breast on their mouth, it can easily cover the nose part. By the time you realize, the baby is dead. Yes.
It has happened time and time again.
Yeah, a lot of babies die during breastfeeding.
Listen, I know a child, a baby who died. She went to school and she died. Because the one who was feeding her didn't feed her well.
Yes, and you have to take your time.
Yeah.
When you are feeding babies, you have to take your time. Because sometimes the milk is in their mouth. They've not swallowed it. They'll keep it in their mouth for some time and swallow, you know. Their muscles are not strong enough and all that, so you have to give them time to swallow before you continue the feeding again. So yes,
before long you have killed your child because you are trying to feed. You didn't pay attention to what you were doing. Yeah, I have a friend who swallowed. He's eating banko and tilapia. He puts flesh, some of the flesh into. No, there was a big bone in there, and it just, that's it. The bone didn't go this way. It went this way. Or it blocked. It was there. He needed a surgery to take it out. Yes. Needed a surgery to take it out. Mm. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to glory. Tell me about glory to glory.
Glory to glory.
There are several points, but if I continue, we'll not close. So, no, I mean, let's go to the next major point. Okay, I would have gone into restoration of your soul. Receiving the word brings restoration of your soul. Receiving the word brings victory on every side. That's point number 5 and 6. But let me go to big point number 3. Big point number 1 is because Jesus said the shepherd is the most important need, right? Then number 2 is because you need to be fed spiritually as a sheep. So big point number 3 is that every sheep, why do you need a shepherd? Because every sheep needs leadership and guidance to survive. Every sheep needs leadership and guidance to survive. Every sheep needs leadership and guidance to survive. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. Taking the over... Let's read from verse 1 so that it makes more sense. Okay? Peter is writing to the church. And he says that the elders which are among you, the shepherds who are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Then he shows them what to do. He says, feed the flock of God. That's what I was talking about. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Then the next thing is, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for faithful lookout, but of a ready mind. Taking what? The oversight thereof. Let's read the Amplified to help us. Tend, nurture, guard, guide and fold the flock of God. That is your responsibility. Not by coercion or constraint, but willingly. Okay? He says, tend, nurture, guide and fold the flock of God. That is your responsibility. Let's read TPT. To be compassionate shepherds who tenderly care for God's flock and who feed them well, for you have the responsibility to guide, protect, and oversee. Eh? You have a responsibility to what? To guide, protect, and oversee. Brothers and sisters, a sheep by its nature, can never arrive at its destination without leadership and guidance. If a sheep is moving from Agbogba to North Legon, this morning on its own that is going to visit a friend at Aboba, at North Legon. It's going to buy KFC. It needs chicken. Meh. It's moving up and down. But do you think it will arrive? What are the possible things that could happen to it as it is going? Eh? It will become suya, chichinga for someone, isn't it? It can be killed by a car. Huh? It can cause an accident. Like the guys we saw the last time. Yeah. Ask your neighbor. Neighbor, are you the flock of God's pasture? Are you a sheep? What do your neighbor say? You a sheep? You agree a sheep? You don't agree a sheep? You a sheep? Yes, we don't bleat. That's the only thing. But we are God's sheep. Oh, yes. Listen. You cannot arrive. Read my lips. You cannot arrive at your destiny. Come. At your destiny of marriage. You cannot arrive at your destiny of marriage. Oh. You cannot arrive at your destiny of marriage. You cannot arrive at your destiny of career, employment, whatever. You cannot arrive at your destination of business, whatever. You cannot arrive at your destination of ministry. Serving God, doing what God wants you to do, and fulfilling the will of God, which is the most important thing. You will not arrive. Eh? You cannot arrive emotionally in your emotions. You cannot arrive in the destiny of your, what else? Your finances. You cannot arrive in the destination of your health. Uh-huh. Family. Uh-huh.
Education.
Uh-huh. And what else? Business. You cannot. Where else are we arriving? What? Children. Uh-huh. Well, what else?
Grandchildren.
Yeah. Listen, you cannot arrive. It's not possible. The problem is that you think that you can arrive on your own. That's the issue. You think you can arrive. You think you can. You're a big girl. I'm a big boy. Who needs to counsel me? Who needs to do this? Who needs to do that? I can do it on my own. I can live my life. Self-made.
Yeah.
Your mouth like made. What are you talking about? It doesn't work. You cannot. It's not possible. You need to be guided. God says you should guide. Oh, you didn't see it?
Yeah.
Show me that verse in feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight of... Oh, Charlie Tippity. The word oversight is what I wanted you to see. Taking oversight means to guide, to protect, oversee. You need to be led. You need to be guided. Snakes cannot be guided. Snakes cannot be what?
Guided.
Have you seen a snake following a shepherd before?
Hey.
A pack of snakes and they are all following a shepherd. They don't even follow their own mother. When they are born, that's it. Independence. It doesn't work with sheep. Sheep need to be guided for them to go out and come in, for them to find pasture for themselves, for them to be, to, for whatever it is, they need to be guided. Even a sheep's wool can kill it. You know that. When the wool is a lot, it can die. A sheep should not lie on its back. Just by lying, when it lies on its back, that's it, it can die. It can struggle and die. Sheep are so vulnerable. It's very well. They need to be helped. They need to be protected. They need to be guided and led. You cannot. It's not possible. Accept it. You see, that's the issue. You may not accept. I'm taking my time to talk because I need you to accept the fact that, listen, I cannot arrive at the dreams that God has for me, the purposes that God has for me, without an active shepherd in my life. It doesn't work.
Yes.
Active shepherding. And a shepherd that you listen to, when he says, don't go, you don't go. When he says, where are you going? You will say the truth. I'm going here. And then you can be advised and helped. You are always hiding things from your shepherd. Where did you sleep? We don't know where. We came to your room. You were not there. And I was advising this girl. Eh? I had the sheep. And I was trying to guide her, sexually speaking. Because she couldn't control herself. So I showed her, do this, do that. Do this so that this doesn't happen again. Oh. I mean, it's like I'm just biting some sand or something like that. You know what I mean? She was not minding it at all. She was all over the place, jumping here, doing that, doing this, doing that. Different styles, Caesar kick, Jet Li, Rambo style, commando, riding on a motorbike type of thing. Hey! She was all over the place. Then she got pregnant. You know, she had taken a number of babies out already. And as a shepherd, I'm trying to guide her. No, Charlie, you are killing all your children. Very soon you get married and you will not be able to have some. You are finishing it. You are spoiling your womb. She wasn't minding me. Then she got pregnant and this pregnancy was ectopic. Yes. Do you know ectopic pregnancy? You don't know what ectopic pregnancy. It means that the baby, the fetus didn't travel into the womb. It stayed in the tube, the fallopian tube. You see, there's an egg, whatever, that produces a lot of eggs that travels through the fallopian tube into the womb. You see? So she was pregnant, but the baby was inside the fallopian tube. She has choked in the fallopian tube. And that's very deadly. That can kill you. I know someone who is dead because of that. She's gone. Very beautiful woman. She's gone because of that. And then that happened and she couldn't see. So she and the boy traveled to a certain hospital somewhere. And they went to operate on her and cut. That means when that happens, they have to cut your tube. Yes, they have to cut that tube. You have only two tubes. So if one is gone, and you keep being stubborn, and the other one too is blocked by another fallopian, ectopic pregnancy, they will cut the other one too. And that means that, no production, it's finished. So they cut her fallopian tube, whatever. Even after that, she was still jumping all over the place. Yes, with this same boy. Jumping all over the place. No, that thing can be very wild. Yeah. Can be very wild. She was not minding me. Yeah. After some time, she got angry with me. Yes. Because she was expecting me to take some decisions in her favor. And I didn't take those decisions. And she got angry and she left. You see? Mm-hmm. Because she wouldn't listen. If you listen, you'll be saved. If you listen, you'll be saved. I had a sheep who wanted to marry a certain guy. And I said that this guy, I don't think it will help you. This guy will not help you. That's it. I've not seen her again till date.
That's it.
Because I commented about her marriage. One of the things that you need, your marital destiny may not happen. You may marry and not be happy. You think marriage is a small thing? Marrying and being happy. It doesn't just happen. No? Yes. You need a shepherd to help you marry. Yes. So that you can be happy. A marriage that you can be happy in. You're excited. You can have a chat with your husband and everything is okay. Yeah. Before long, your husband has 75 girlfriends. Bluetooth device connected. Wi-Fi. public Wi-Fi. AirDrop. They're just dropping everywhere. Huh? You'll be shocked. One of the key places where your shepherd will lead you and guide you is, that's what I'm talking, is marriage. Yes, marriage. Guide you in your business. Guide you in your ministry. Your shepherd will encourage you to work for God. Is it because working for God, it doesn't look like it's important? Yeah. But at the end of the day, everything will be nonsense. Your marriage will be nonsense. Your children will be nonsense. By the way, your children, they are renting in your house. They will leave after some time. They will be there. When the nest is empty, then you see that it is not a small thing. Yeah. Revelation 14 verse 13. Look at Revelation 14 verse 13. Your shepherd will bring your mind to what is right. What you should do. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them. One day, you'll be gone. And all that will matter is what you did for the Lord. Your shepherd will bring your mind to the fact that, hey, marriage is powerful. Children are powerful. Business is powerful. But you need to work for the Lord. You need to work for the Lord. You need to work with the Lord. You need to be fruitful in the ministry. You need to become some. You need to win a soul. Nobody else, your father will not tell you to go for soul winning. Your lecturer will never come to you and say, okay, I think this week we need to win souls. There's nothing like that. The only place where you'll be told to win souls and be helped and they'll create a place, a system for you to be able to win souls, make it easy for you, is the church. Yeah. It's through shepherding. Or else you go to school, you have whatever, you have become a big person and you have zero in your spiritual account. Zero. Hey. You die, you arrive. All of us are on our way to death. Every birthday is a celebration, a step closer to eternity. Every birthday. Is that what?
A step closer to eternity.
So celebrate the birthday with wisdom. Don't just be popping champagne. Hey, it's my birthday. How is your life contributing to the kingdom of God?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes. You should. He says, teach us to number our days so that you may apply our hearts to wisdom. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Look at Daniel 12. Daniel 12. Let's read verse 3. Daniel 12, verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Those who turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. You cannot shine in the heavens forever and ever if you didn't do what God wanted you to do along the lines of soul winning. He says, those who turn many to righteousness. Yeah. Not those who help people to bank their money. Not those who help, those who work as a cloth sellers. They sell cloth for people to be clothed. Not the watch seller, not the lawyer, those who help the law courts, whatever. No. No. Not those who sew dresses. Not those who did hairstyle or did nails. Look at you. No, you can do nails, but it's not turning someone to righteousness. If you are doing the nails and you are preaching to the person as you are doing the nails or telling the person about God, you will become a star. Yeah. Time, listen, time is for making investments into eternity.
Yeah.
Yes. Your giving makes a difference. Your shepherd will guide you to give. Yes. Lead you. Let me show you some of the things your shepherd will lead you to do. More things. I've showed you some, but let me show you more. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The aim of shepherding is for you not to want anything. Then the next verse says, he maketh me to lie down in green pasture. So leading your shepherd will lead you, make you. Do you understand? Make you do something. Come. I can make him do something. Or I can leave him to do whatever he wants to do. Do you see? Huh? A sheep that is left to by itself will not get anywhere. A sheep that is compelled to do things is the one who will become something. I must compel you to win souls. I must compel you to give. I must compel you to read your Bible. If I'm a shepherd over you, I have to help you. Please, you can take your seat. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. That's making the person read the word. Lie down in the green pastures is the word of God. They'll make you. If you have accepted the ministry of a shepherd into your life, you allow yourself. You see the way I'm talking about reading the Bible, whatever. A shepherd will go even beyond what I'm saying to creating an atmosphere for you to read, have a Bible year, whatever plan, Bible reading plan, or ask you, text me the pages you have read today. Where are your notes? Send your devotion. What do you remember this verse? Hello? If you are not careful, you insult him. Why are these people? Why are they worrying me? Are you a sheep? Ask anybody, are you a sheep? What did he say? You're a sheep. If you're a sheep, you need to be made to do things. Hello? Yes. Leadership is not passive. Leadership is active. When you are being led, you are led into things you may not like. You may not like it, but you will do it anyway. My Sunday school teachers and my youth teacher, as of now, I still talk to some of those people. Yeah. I honor them up to date. Because my Sunday school cum youth teachers young in Church of Pentecost, Elang Assembly, compelled me to learn the scriptures. Yeah. With lashes. As though we're in school. Yes. I could quote the whole of Ruth. Ruth, the whole book. Yes. John chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. We are just quoting. Oh, you miss one verse. Pah! You miss a chapter. You miss a whatever. Pah! No. Go through it again. Oh, fine. I was compelled to like God. Yes. And I'm forever great. Every year I try my best to do something to show my appreciation. Yes. I can't wait to honor them in a certain type of way. Wow. Because I've been saved by allowing myself to be compelled. One day, I was at a party and I was dancing behind a girl. This was like 96 or 90 something. Well, 30 years ago. Yeah. Between the girl. Small boy. 10 years, 11 years. Then, one of my brother's brother, went to tell him that Charlie, our man is dancing at the party. So I was just doing whatever, and then I heard someone hitting my shoulders. When I turned, it was him. I said, oh! He said, follow me. It was not easy for me at all. That was the last party I ever attended in my life. Up to date, I've not attended any wild party like that. Yeah? They compelled us to read. That's why we are pastors now. Prophet Ted and myself, the other people. Recently, I went to wait on God at Anakazo. And after fasting, whatever, I wanted to break my fast. So I went to a hotel to go and break my fast on the mountain. When I entered the hotel, went to eat. When I was leaving, some people were talking on the car park. I was just going to my car. Then one of them said, hey, Ozovo. When I turned, it was my Sunday school teacher who helped taught me how to fast.
Wow.
I said, hey, I've been looking for you for a long time.
Wow.
Yes. Fasting will be Sunday school. 6 to 12. By 10, something is doing you. 10 a.m. What is this? What is this? And we are praying. Yeah. That's why we can be where we are. Like, we learned some of those things early. Yes. 6 to 12. Then later, 6 to 3. They're stretching you gradually. Then later, 6 to 6. Then later, 24 hours. Yes. Yes. In my teens, we're doing 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours. without food. 3 days, no food, just water. It's normal. Well, when I was turning 70, Professor Lem and I were turning 70, the year we're turning 17, we knew, we had heard about David, how God called him, anointed him at 17. Joseph saw his visions at 17. This one, 17. It was like 17 was a very powerful year to find out what you are going to do with your life. Because we were in church, we could have that type of information. So we went on a retreat, 7 days fast, first 3 days dry, the next 4 days, 6 to 6, drinking just some juice and granite. Yes. And praying around a big church auditorium like this. You go around it so many times praying in the night. Yeah. 17. We will fast for school fees. There's no school fees. So we fast. When it's time to pray, they say, go and pray. Go and pray for school. We don't have the money. Go and pray. And we just climb the mountain and go and pray for school fees. I'm not saying you should pray for your school fees now. But what I'm saying is that your shepherd must compel you, push you to fast. Do you see what I'm talking about? Yes. Because your life is finishing. Or you can't see your life is finishing. Huh? Your life is finishing. And yet you don't believe a lot of things. You must fast to believe some things. You must fast to believe the word of God. Like, this thing has to work in my life. It has to work. He says, this kind of unbelief goeth not out, but by prayer and what? Fasting. Let's pray and fast so that we can believe the word of God. Jesus was not talking about praying and fasting concerning the demon. Like, this kind of demon goes out by prayer and fasting. No. That means that the name of Jesus doesn't mean anything. Demons go out by the name of Jesus, not by fasting and prayer. If it's like that, it means that fasting and prayer is higher than the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is good enough to cure every demonic activity. There's no name that is higher than the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. No, be so. And every tongue should come. So Jesus was not talking about the demon. He was talking about the unbelief. They asked him, why could you not cast him out? Cast the devil out. And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Jesus was addressing the unbelief. You couldn't cast the devil out because you don't believe that you can cast it out. This unbelief will go out through fasting and prayer. So fasting and prayer is to cure yourself of unbelief. When God shows you something and realize that, hey, this thing is too big for my mind, what it means is that you need to go and pray, fast and pray. Or when God has told you that something should be happening around this time in your life and it's not happening, what should you do? You should go and fast and pray. You should go and fast and pray. You should go and fast and pray. Fasting and prayer is very important for different seasons of your life. You want a change, you must fast and pray. Esther wanted a change. What did she do? She called for a fast. 3 days, let's pray and fast. So that we can have a change. Daniel notices that the prophecies of God that he has spoken through the prophet Jeremiah are not coming to pass. It's been several years after the 70 years we're supposed to be in exile, and they are not coming out of exile. What is going on? So he sets himself apart to fast and pray. So sometimes God has told you something that will be happening in your life. You know, it's been prophesied to you. You are there. It is not showing up. What should you do? Ababasho aparade akabaya. Your shepherd, you must allow yourself to be forced, to be compelled, to be led to pray and fast. You see, I'm keeping you. This is an all night. I'm keeping you awake. It's 2 a.m. practically. And I'm keeping you awake. I'm trying, I'm leading you strongly to be awake. When I see you sleeping, I comment about you. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You must be led. You cannot arrive at your destiny. The marriage is not coming. Maybe you should be fasting and praying about it. Don't treat it casually. Don't treat it like it's nothing. Nobody has proposed in a very long time. No. What is going on? Why? What's happening? Let's find out. Lord, kamazuta apayada. What is going on? Am I supposed to wait? Am I supposed to do something? What am I supposed to do? You should know. You fast, you pray with the word. You are on the word. What am I not seeing? What am I not seeing? Then shall your light break forth. Isaiah, just type light break forth in Isaiah. Let me show it to you. It's talking about fasting and prayer and the word. What happens when you are fasting and prayer? Isaiah 58. Let's read from, go to verse 4. He says, behold, you fast for strife and debate. Next verse. Then he says, is this such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush? Let's read NLT. We don't understand all this bulrush. What's, do you know bulrush? Rushing towards a bull. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? He was addressing the type of fast they did, how they were doing their fasting at that time. No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Fasting can help you forgive. Bitterness can leave your heart. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Okay? Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Like you have held people to your heart and all of that. It says, fasting helps you to release those people. Next verse. Share your food with the hungry. Don't pack breakfast, lunch, supper together and eat together at once at 6 p.m. When it's 5:55, your hand is in the bowl like that. When it's 6, pa, you start eating. I mean, it's like you're not serious. You're not serious. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Do not hide from relatives who need your help. This is very powerful, you dear. Next verse. Then it says, then your salvation will come like the dawn. And your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward. And the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Let's read the King James. The King James says it in a very nice way. It says, when you do all the things I'm telling you to do, that's the type of fast I want you to do. Like fast and release people. Fast and bless people. Change people's lives. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. The other one says your salvation. There's something that may be happening that is not. It says things will change as you fast. Your light shall break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily. Then shall your light break forth. Are you seeing it? Yeah. You want your light to break forth. Things, information. I know how to get information from the Spirit. Because I've been led to fast and pray and read. I've been led to lie down in green pastures. I've been led over the years. So now nobody needs to even tell me what to do. Me now, go and do it. Because I've been led over the years. Are you talking about?
Yeah.
Go back to Psalm 23. He maketh me lie down, verse 2, in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Still waters. That's the Spirit leading you in the things of the Spirit. Okay? Yes. Leading you in the things of the Spirit. Like I'm saying, prayer, fasting, reading the Bible, meditation, evangelism, leading you to become a shepherd, doing something, helping you to become something, leading you in your marriage, leading you in the way you behave. I mean, your shepherd should tell you that, Charlie, you are becoming too proud. I feel you are too proud. You should change this thing. And you shouldn't be bothered that they have told you that you are proud and that you should work on it by having this and that happen in your life. You shouldn't be offended. Why are you offended? Why are you offended that we are telling you that you should humble yourself some more? It's a good thing for someone to be able to tell you that you are proud. I've seen that this thing is pride. Change it. There's no one in your life who can tell you and help you. You'll be in trouble with time. Yeah. No one can tell you, sit at home. Don't go to this boy's place. Hey. Don't go. What are you going to do there? Don't go and sleep there. Why are you going to sleep there? And you listen. I'm not going to sleep there. I'm going home. Hello?
Hi.
It's for your own good. Before long, you have done 17 abortions. Or the girl is dying in your room. I know someone who had someone die in his room 2 weeks ago. The best thing, the girl is gone. He's not married to the girl. So it's a whole problem now. Yes. It's a police case. Yes. What was the girl doing in your room? What was the boy doing in your room? You are 20 years old and you have someone sleeping by you. Hey. Someone's husband is sleeping in your room. With his big stomach. Hello? He says, you shall lead me in the path of righteousness. Next verse. This is shepherding. And he says, he's going to lead me, makes me to do this. He leads me. He restoreth my soul. Like, he'll lead me for the transformation of my soul. For my soul to be saved. Do you see? Yeah. Which is what Christianity is all about. With the word. Using the word to transform your mind. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me. I see in it leading. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Leads me in the path of righteousness. Path of righteousness. Make sure you are not doing things that righteous people don't do. You that you're a child of God, what are you doing at a club? What are you doing in a club? Your shepherd will tell you, don't go to those places. I've banned you. Your shepherd will tell you, dress well. I remember some years ago, we had in one of our churches, our only church actually, some ladies came in, all of them, short. When they cross their legs, Pastor Emmanuel, do you remember? When they cross their legs, like, the whole, everything is, it was wild. Then we started shepherding them gradually. All their skirts started increasing in height. So, if you are sheep, we should be able to guide you.
Yeah.
Today I saw a girl on a certain campus around. I was driving and I saw her. Listen, she was not wearing bra, and she's coming from lectures. Her nipples are in there, whatever. And you can see that she's not wearing panties as well. And she just gallivanting. I was like, why? It's normal. It was my first time, so I was really surprised. I was like, but this is why I'm supposed to wear it in your house, in your room. What is this? It's normal. Wow. A shepherd will lead you in the path of righteousness to wear bra and wear panty and wear something long. Cover yourself. We are tired. Are the boys? No, all the boys. Are we not tired? We are tired. All the men are tired. We are tired. We are, our eyes paining us. It's too much. We can't bear it. Oh Lord, save your children. Let me show you a verse. About dressing, the ladies and dressing. Yes. 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or corsair. Let's read it in easy English. Easy English. Can I read it to you?
Yeah.
Also, I want the women to wear proper clothes. Women should wear clothes that do not show their bodies too much.
You are the best.
You should not wear clothes that show your body too much. Your body's too much. A woman should not wear clothes that cause other people to be ashamed about her. Like, the exposure is so wild that it's like, hey. Like, why? It's serious. You have given cleavage. Cleavage. And you have worn the bra that pumps the breast. What's it called? Push up. Hey. I've pushed the thing up. And you have used oil to. Oh. And you have put cross inside the middle. You are pressing Jesus. Oh. You are pressing the sons of God. Your skirt is micro mini. These days, there are jeans that show the butt cheeks. Yes. It's called what?
Booty
shorts. Wow. Why? Your shepherd will guide you as to how you should dress. We are not also saying you should dress like you are mad. You dress like do you understand? You wear one dress shoe like that. No shape, nothing. It's not nice. Like we can't see you. We can't see you. How can we fall in love with you that we can't see you?
Your life is hidden.
Your life is hidden in the dress. You are wearing a sack, a piece of sack. No. There's a modest way of looking. Like you look nice, but you are not. You look like a Christian. You see, there's a Christian look. You are covered. Nice clothing, everything. You see, he says, it's not showing the bodies too much. So he didn't say, don't show the body at all. He said, don't show the body too much. Do you understand? Show small. I mean, just be well cladded. You look nice. Don't wear sack. Look nice. But don't wear jeans that is like Nigeria coconut. Your buttocks is looking like. Hey. Why? It's not good for the heart. If you are wearing something that is going to show your butt, you should cover it, a longer top. Do you see? A longer top, something that will cover it. Yes, it's covered nicely. Then you are moving around. A woman should not wear clothes that cause other people to be ashamed about her. Women should not do their hair in an expensive way. That takes a lot of time. It's in the Bible. I'm not the one saying it. Women should not do their hair in an expensive way. That takes a lot of time. Because of your hair, you cannot read your Bible. But you have to put it in a certain shape. I saw the first day I saw a lady who has just done rasta. And it was on the floor. You see that? You seen those ones? It was sweeping the floor. I was wondering, why, what's going on? It was my first time seeing it. Hey, I was shocked. How many hours will it take to do that? 6 hours. And you are there. But you can't pray for 6 hours. You can't be in an all night for 6 hours. You can't listen to the word of God for 6 hours. Pastor Eben says, just buy a wig from his wife. Hallelujah. Women should not make their hair expensive. Nor should they wear gold or beautiful stones or expensive clothes. Like, your focus, what he's trying to say is, your focus is on a certain type of earring that has come. Like, a certain necklace, certain bracelet, a certain ring, a certain dress. All the time. All your money is in jewelry, is in clothing. Oh, that's what he's talking. He's not saying you shouldn't wear jewelry. Hey, be nice. Do your lipo. Do your lipo. You are not a lady. Do your lipo. Do your lips. Do everything. Look beautiful. The guys, don't you want to see the ladies looking beautiful? We like it. When your lips is looking such, it's nice. It's beautiful. It's not. We love it. But don't overdo. Your hair, one hair is 20,000. You are wearing 20,000 hair. Why? A plot of land is on your head. Seed sowing is coming. 20,000 on your hair. Come and sow the wig. We'll sell it and use it for the house of God. Hallelujah. Don't wear one wig for 70 years. change, change it. It's good to change. Eh? You do, your hair has, it's so old, you'll be there every day. You put a blue sticker in there, check it. That one too is not nice. When you take your wig off, you look like a boy. Your hair is all over, like Medusa, hair of Medusa. When we hug you, we smell the hair. That is also not nice. You may not know that as we are hugging you, we are smelling your hair. You may not know, I'm telling you. When we hug you, Hallelujah. Leadership and guidance. Do you understand that point? Sheep are led by simply following the voice of the shepherd if they are to survive. Just follow the voice of the shepherd. Follow what is being said to you, like I'm sharing with you now. So you may be listening to a message like this. You are wearing short skirts. I'm saying with scriptures, stop wearing short skirts. You just make a change. Just listen to the voice of the shepherd and your life will change. Do you understand? Yeah. John chapter 10, verse 1 to 5. Wow. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. You see, so if you can hear the voice of your shepherd, like you can, what hearing a voice means that you respond to the voice. You see, if I call your name, Frida, you are the one called Frida. So when I say Frida, will you come? Yes. You will come because you are the one they are calling. He says that to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. A name is an identity. So you can be listening to a message, and then they say something that you identified with, like it's something that is affecting you. You make a change. A message is for you. Don't get angry. Be like an American police car. Not like Ghana police car. American police car. When an American police car is driving towards the side, and then they say, hello. 253. There's a crime on street number 5. He's going to street number 7 or 8. He will turn. And go. That's how your life should be. C-turns and U-turns in your life. Not Ghana police car. I mean Ghana police car. What you call? Is it they should save themselves? Go and record and come. Oh Lord, help us get good. Help our police service become more powerful in Jesus' name. So that when we call, they will come. They'll come to our rescue. Hey! They will say the petrol is finished. The petrol in the car is finished. Send some Momo right now. Has it happened to you? It's not happened to you before. Eh? Pray that it never happens to you. They will tell you, send Momo, and then we'll come. Active robbery. You'll be surprised. Record the video, man. Hey, record the video for us. Your head may go. Yes. But are you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, something has been said. The message is coming. It's saying, don't get angry. Allow yourself to be corrected. Allow yourself to be led. That's how you're going to be led. You don't have to even have a personal one-on-one meeting. Let the word of God that is being preached change you. Do you see? I have learned to allow the word to change me. So as the word is coming, if they say, humble yourself, and I realize I'm very proud about these things, let me just change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Leaded them out. Do you see? Don't let that where like they have preached to you, you are not changing. No. It's not correct. You are not responding to what do you want God to do again? You can just be delaying your life. Next verse 4. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them and the sheep follow him. Have you seen it? The sheep follow him. Leadership is by following. You just follow the one ahead of you. Sheep are led by bottom, face to bottom. One sheep is in front, following a shepherd. Then the other sheep is behind, following the bottom of the other sheep. That is following the shepherd. That's how they move. Yes. Face to bottom. And they are moving like that, together. That's how it works. So you'll be led and guided by you following. Okay? Yes. And there are things to follow. Let me show you some things to follow. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. So you follow the doctrine that is being taught you. Eh? If you are going to be led, the leadership is by you following. Following what? Following the doctrine that is being shared. You will know, you will be able to follow and be led well when you will not be doctrinally in error when you follow the doctrine that is being taught to you. When you follow it well and someone is saying something online, it will not bother you. It will not be a problem. And when they say Jesus is not God, it will not be a problem for you because you know the doctrine. You've been led along the lines of doctrine because you followed along the lines of doctrine. Please, you get it?
Yeah.
Yes. Manner of life. You will not live anyhow because you see your shepherds that they don't live anyhow. They are not in a party. The way to be led is to just look at the one, but first to bottom, who is the one you are following? Who is the one ahead of you? How is he behaving? Do you see? Face to bottom. Tell me about face to bottom.
Face to bottom.
Face to bottom. 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 Hallelujah. Yeah. Manner of life. How to live as a Christian. You may not be taught how to live as a Christian, but you will see by looking at the one who is ahead of you. Okay? How to treat your wife. You will see it. How to treat your children. You will see it. How to relate. You will see it. Hallelujah. Purpose. Your purpose in life. What purpose do you have in life? You find your purpose in life by following the one who is ahead of you, by following the shepherd. Okay? Yes. We are not just existing. We are existing for Jesus Christ, for his purposes. Whatever we are doing is for Jesus. So that is on our minds. I mean, if you are around, you know that we are very wild about the things of God. Or you've not noticed. We are wild. We want to start more churches. We want to make the church be filled with more people. We want thousands of people, tens of thousands of people to be saved in our time. Purpose. Things to follow and things to be led about. Doctrine, manner of life, purpose. Your life purpose will change. You will not be living for money. Why? What is your purpose in life? Make it big. Make it big. Be a big man. Secure the bag. Secure the bag. You are not serious. Is that the purpose of your life? You secure the bag and the bag will vanish. Then faith. Faith. You'll be led along the lines of faith. How to put your faith to work. You see, by just following the one who is ahead of you, you notice that, hey, that guy is able to put his faith to work for money to come. He's able to put his faith to work for the things of God. He's able to put his faith to work for his business. You will learn just by following. Hallelujah. Then long suffering. Things that people are suffering, but they are still serving God. Someone doesn't have a child, still serving God. Someone doesn't have a husband, still serving God. Someone doesn't have a job, still serving God. Someone had a job, has lost a job, is still serving God. You too, as you are looking, realize that, hey, no matter what comes my way, serving God is not circumstantial. It has nothing to do with all these things. You will be led well.
Oh, yes.
So no matter what happens in your life, you'll not be moved. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Not whatever my Lord thou hast taught me to say, it is not well, I'm moving out, I'm getting out. No, that is not it. I'm done. No matter what, you learn by looking, by following. Do you see? Yes. Some things have not happened, but it doesn't mean that God is not good or God is not faithful. God is always faithful. Yes. Job said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. So whether you are being slayed or being killed or whatever it is, you are still following the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Then love, charity, love, things to follow or things to be led about. Love. You learn that you don't live for your life. You live for others. Do you see? Yes. You live for others. You live to bless other people's lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Love. We love because God first loved us. Then patience. You learn patience by just following. That's how you are led. By following. Okay? That's a sheep and a shepherd. You see, face to bottom. One is following the shepherd. And then the rest are following the one that is following the shepherd. Just like that. That's how it works. Hallelujah. But that has fully known my patience. Next verse. Persecutions. Problems that are coming because we are preaching the gospel. Rejections that we face because of the gospel. You'll be led in all those things. Eh? Afflictions, troubles that come because of the gospel, which came unto me at Iconium, at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Leadership and guidance. Led to fast, led to pray, led in the path of righteousness, led in patience, in faith. Do you see? You see that you are becoming a correct person. Your life is becoming correct to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Rise up upon your feet for a minute.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app. Plug in and enjoy God's word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.